lesson, the jumping off point is Colossians 3:23, because we are to do whatever we do for the Lord and not for men. Why is that? One more verse over. Verse 24 says, knowing that of the Lord ye shall receive the reward of the inheritance, for ye serve the Lord Christ. There is an end to the means. There's a reason why we strive to be obedient to God. In Ephesians 6:8, it says, knowing that whatever good each one does, slave or free, he will receive this back from the Lord. We don't just follow blindly what the preacher says. We study God's word, and we understand that the scouts have a handbook. Christians, we have a handbook, and we're all to follow it. Now, one of the parables that Jesus taught illustrates what God expects of us, and it's the parable of the talents. It's in the book of Matthew, chapter 25. And I'd like to share that with you this morning. It's Matthew 25, 14 through 30. And it says, for it is just like a man going on a journey. He called his own slaves and turned over his possessions to them. To one he gave 5 talents, to another 2, and to another 1, to each according to his own ability. See, God doesn't expect us to do above what he has equipped us to do. But he has equipped all of us to do something. Some of us will receive 5 talents, some will receive 2, and some will receive 1. It's what we do with those things is what matters. The man then went on his journey. Immediately the man who had received 5 talents went and put them to work and earned 5 more. In the same way, the man with 2 earned 2 more. But the man who had received 1 talent went off, dug a hole in the ground, and hid his master's money. After a long time, the master of the slaves came and settled accounts with them. The man who had received 5 talents approached, presented 5 more talents, and said, Master, you gave me 5. Look, I have earned 5 more talents. His master said to him, well done, good and faithful slave. You were faithful over a few things. I will put you in charge of many things. Share your master's joy. Then the man with 2 talents also approached and said, Master, you gave me 2 talents. Look, I've earned 2 more. His master said to him, well done, good and faithful slave. You were faithful over a few things. I will put you in charge of many things. Share your master's joy. Then the man who had received 1 talent also approached and said, Master, I know you. You're a difficult man, reaping where you haven't sown and gathering where you haven't scattered seed. So I was afraid and went off and hid your talent in the ground. Look, you have what is yours. But his master replied to him, you evil, lazy slave, if you knew that I reap where I haven't sown and gather where I haven't scattered, then you should have deposited my money with the bankers, and when I returned, I would have received my money back with interest. So take the talent from him and give it to the one who has 10 talents. For to everyone who has, more will be given, and he will have more than enough. But from the one who does not have, even what he has will be taken away from him. And throw the good-for-nothing slave into the outer darkness. In that place there will be weeping and gnashing of teeth. Whenever we hear Jesus talk about a place that is weeping and gnashing of teeth, he's talking about hell. You see, all three of these slaves believed in their master. They knew who their master was. But one didn't trust him. So we see this warning isn't for people who are unbelievers. It's for people who are believers and do nothing with what God has given them. Now, we are all given talents from God. Scouting encourages the exercise and growth of these talents, and praise the Lord for that. But church, we need to do the same thing. As the church of the living God, as the bride of Jesus Christ, what are we doing with the talents that God has given us? Just as we read in this parable, we find out that growth takes investment. If we don't invest the talents that God has given us, we're not going to grow anything for the kingdom. We're going to stand before God and he's going to say, what did you do with what I gave you? And you're going to say, well, I was afraid to share, so I just hid it inside myself because I had my salvation and that was good enough for me. But that's not what we're called to do. On my honor, I will do my best. In our duty to God, folks, if you call yourself a Christian, you are to live blameless, holy lives. You are children of the King. You need to act like it. We must work to please God. God loves us. He died for your sins. But Scripture also tells us that we have to work to please Him. We are given salvation as a free gift. But once we have that salvation, we are expected to work. We are expected to do things. We can't just sit back on our blessed assurance and watch the world go by. There's things that need to be done. Our duty to God, we go to Scripture, we see in Matthew 22, 37 and 38. It said, Jesus said unto him, Thou shalt love the Lord thy God with all thy heart, with all thy soul, and with all thy mind. This is the first and greatest commandment. Can we sit here today and honestly say that we love the Lord with all of our heart and with all of our soul and with all of our mind? Or do we sometimes sneak away and serve self over God? I really don't feel like doing VBS this year. I'll just stay home. I don't really feel like going to Sunday school. I'll just stay home. I don't feel like going to Wednesday night service. Them people ain't going to miss me there. Are we giving Him our all or just giving Him some? Romans 12:1. Paul writes, I beseech you therefore, brethren, by the mercies of God, that ye present your bodies a living sacrifice, holy, acceptable unto God, which is your reasonable service. He's not asking us to go above and beyond. He's asking for our reasonable service, to make ourselves blameless and holy before God. Why is that important, preacher? Because you've got lost people all around you that look at you because you call yourself a Christian and they want to see what you've got that they don't have. And if you can't show them something different, they're not going to want what you've got. We got to be different. We got to act like Christians. 1 John 3:21 to 22. Dear friends, if our conscience does not condemn us, we have confidence before God and can receive whatever we ask from Him because we keep His commands and do what is pleasing in His sight. Yes, folks, it's important that we act like Christians. Ephesians 5, 8 through 10 says, For you were once darkness, but now you are light in the Lord. Walk as children of light. For the fruit of the light results in all goodness, righteousness, and truth, discerning what is pleasing to the Lord. Do you live your life wanting to please the Lord? Or do you just kind of skate through? Do you look for ways to please the Lord, or do you ignore His holy word because ignorance is bliss? What do we do with the salvation that we've been given? As we go through this, we find out that all these things are very important to God. Duty to God is number one. As a matter of fact, I tell the church staff here and everybody that works at Tall Pines Baptist Church, whether you're a Sunday school teacher, a VBS leader, singing in the choir, it doesn't matter. If you work in the services at Tall Pines Baptist Church, you put God first, family second, and church third. But God has to be first. In everything that we do, we must strive to please the Lord. Well, how can we do that outside of church? We can do it by helping other people. That's another important part of the motto, is to help other people. In Galatians 6:2, we are told to bear one another's burdens and so fulfill the law of Christ. Jesus Christ fulfilled the law when He died on the cross. He bore our burden to the cross. That is the ultimate example of Christian love. He took our burdens. We are to bear one another's burdens. Sometimes that just means you're there as a sympathetic ear or a shoulder to cry on. No one's asking you to solve their problems, but they're asking you to be there for them. Hebrews 6:10. says, for God is not unjust. He will not forget your work and the love you showed for his name when you served the saints and you continue to serve them. If you're a believer in our Lord and Savior Jesus Christ and you're washed in the blood, you are a saint. That's what he's talking about here. We are to help one another in the church. Hebrews 13:16. Don't neglect to do what is good and to share, for God is pleased with such sacrifices. Sounds like helping others might be important to our Lord and Savior. James 2:14-17 says, what doth it profit, my brethren, though a man say he have faith and have not works? Can faith save him? If a brother or a sister be naked and destitute of daily food, and one of you say unto them, depart in peace, be ye warmed and filled, notwithstanding ye give them not these things which are needful to the body, what doth it profit? Even so faith, if it hath not works, is dead, being alone. We have to work. We have to do things. When these guys get their merit badges, do you have to do some work to earn those things? Absolutely. Absolutely. And folks, we're working to earn our merit badges in heaven. They'll be given in the shape of crowns. Amen. And the greatest gift and joy that we will have as believers is able to cast those crowns back at the feet of Jesus as we give him praise. But if you're not working for the Lord, you're not going to have anything to cast. Again in Matthew 22, we'll continue with what Jesus had to say about the greatest commandments. Number one is love the Lord your God with all your heart, with all your soul, and with all your mind. This is the greatest and most important command. The second is like it. Love your neighbor as yourself. All the law and the prophets depend on these two commands. Not once does Jesus say, love yourself. Love God, love your neighbor. That means we sacrifice our own comforts to help others. We sacrifice time in front of the TV to go to the hospital and visit the sick. We sacrifice our day off on Sunday to come to the church to praise, honor, and worship and learn about him. We sacrifice a couple of our evenings a week so we can grow stronger in the Lord and be better servants and better be able to better handle the talents that God gives us. Because as we grow in the Lord, we learn what these talents are and we're able to multiply them. But if you never help your neighbor, your talents are going to waste. We are called to be stewards of the things that God has given us. And if we're not faithful with them, he's not going to give us more. Ask someone who faithfully tithes. They have more money to help more people. That's how God's economy works. The more you give, the more you get. And that is a biblical principle, and I've seen it working in people's lives. It's worked in my own life. The more you give away, the more you get in return. It's amazing how that works. But we are also told to take care of our bodies because our bodies are a temple of the Lord. And if we don't take care of ourselves, we're not going to be much use to the Lord. If we let our bodies go to waste, we're not going to be physically fit and mentally strong and morally straight. We're not going to be able to serve the Lord the way he has called us to. So we are called to take care of ourselves. We're not called to be selfish with our stuff or to squander everything we have on selfish desires, but we are told to take care of ourselves. 1 Corinthians chapter 6, verses 19 and 20 says, don't you know that your body is a sanctuary of the Holy Spirit who is in you, whom you have from God? You are not your own, for you were bought at a price. Therefore, glorify God in your body. Glorify God in your body. Don't do things to your body that would not glorify the Lord. Don't put poisonous things in your body. Don't treat yourself bad. Make sure you're physically fit and mentally able to serve the Lord and do what he has called you to do. Part of that is rest. Some of us need to learn that. Some of us need to learn that it's okay to take a day. and to get some rest. In Hebrews 4, 9 through 11, therefore a Sabbath rest remains for God's people. For the person who has entered his rest has rested from his own works, just as God did from his. Let us then make every effort to enter that rest so that no one will fall into the same pattern of disobedience. Get some rest when you need it. Believe it or not, God will hit you with an affliction and make you get some rest if you don't do it on your own. A well-rested Christian is able to do the work that God has called him to do. We also must guard our minds, because the world is full of trash out there, and they want nothing more. Satan wants nothing more than to fill your mind with worldly trash so that you're no heavenly good to the earthly people. It's like a computer. You put garbage in, what do you get out? Same thing goes with your mind. We must guard our minds. Philippians 4, 6 and 8 through 8 says, don't worry about anything, but in everything through prayer and petition with thanksgiving, let your requests be made known to God. And the peace of God, which surpasses every thought, will guard your hearts and minds in Christ Jesus. Finally, brothers, whatever is true, whatever is honorable, whatever is just, whatever is pure, whatever is lovely, whatever is commendable, if there is any moral excellence, and if there is any praise, dwell on these things. Get the trash out of your mind. Dwell on the positive. There is no room for a depressed soul in Christian. There's no excuse for it. You have got the greatest gift the world has ever known. You need to show it on your face. I look out across this congregation on some Sundays and I wonder, where is Jesus? Where is the Holy Spirit? If I were to ask who has the Holy Spirit in them, I'd see a whole bunch of hands come up. And my response to you would be, well, if he's in you, you need to tell your face because it don't know. You need to show the joy on your face at all times. And finally, Jesus' own words in John 10:10. He says, a thief comes only to steal and to kill and to destroy. I have come so that they may have life and have it in abundance. Jesus wants you to enjoy your time here on earth. We are put here but for a season. Some of our seasons are shorter than others. We don't know our timeline. We don't know when the Lord's going to call us home. We don't know when we're going to have to stand in front of him and give an account for what we did with the talents that he gave us. Now, the talent they speak of in Scripture is a sum of money. And some even surmise at that time a talent may have been close to $1 million of today's dollars. So this master gave these three slaves a whole lot of money and entrusted them with it. God has given you the Holy Spirit and entrusted you with it. How much do you have? Depends on what God knows you're going to do with it. But I will tell you, the more you use it, the more you'll get. You want to be filled with the Holy Spirit? Make sure you're filled with God's Word. You want to be filled with the Holy Spirit? Make sure your life is filled with prayer. Make sure that you're taking care of your body. Make sure that you're studying Scripture. Make sure you're going to church and you're learning as much as you can about God on a daily basis. Fill your mind with Jesus Christ, and there's no room for the devil to jump in there. Amen. But you have to do that. Jesus' sacrifice gives us every reason to do our best. That is today's Scripture, or today's sermon title is Do Your Best. Are we doing our best? Does Jesus get your best, or does he get what's left? Same way when people tithe. Some people give $20 and call it a tithe. Some people give 2%, 3%, 4% and call it a tithe. The same goes true with our talents. Now, I may be a little bit biased because she's my daughter, but I'm very thankful that Beth Woody uses her talents in music to help lead the choir and the worship service here. because that takes a burden off of me as I prepare sermon messages. But she's going to be blessed. And it doesn't matter what y'all think about her singing. It doesn't matter what y'all think about the way she leads music. It doesn't matter what y'all think about your preacher. What matters is what does God think about what we're doing here. That's what we have to stay focused on. If you know Jesus Christ as your Lord and Savior, you've been given the greatest gift that mankind will ever know. And that is the hope in eternity, in heaven, when you leave this earthly body. Because your body is just like your car out in the parking lot. You got out of your car to come into this building. One of these days, your soul is going to leave its car to either go to heaven or go to hell. So your choice has to be, where do I want to go? Who do I want to follow? Who do I wish to please? You want to please man? You want to please God? If you vow to please God, you need to take that oath and do it to the absolute best of your ability. Amen. Is Jesus your Lord and Savior, or are you serving yourself? That's the question we wrestle with today. If you don't know Jesus Christ as your Lord and Savior, Scripture makes it clear that today is the day of salvation, and there is no other name under heaven by which men must be saved but the name of Jesus Christ. Amen. You will make a decision before you leave today. You will either decide to follow Christ or to serve self. If you choose not to put your faith in Jesus, you have rejected Him. If you reject Jesus and you walk out of this place and you don't live to see tomorrow, you don't get a second chance. Today is the day. Now is the time to make that decision. We're getting ready to do a song of invitation, and the altar is open for all who will come. If you need to know Jesus as your Lord and Savior, I'll be happy to talk with you. You don't have to walk up front. You don't have to talk to the preacher. You can be saved right where you sit. But Jesus did say to make it public knowledge that you are to share with the saints your decision to follow Christ. Jesus said, if you are ashamed of me before men, I will be ashamed of you before the Father. And in Matthew chapter 7, verse 21, Jesus makes it clear that some will come to Him on that day of judgment and say, didn't we go to church? Didn't we visit the sick? Didn't we feed the poor? And Jesus will say, depart from me, you worker of iniquity. I never knew you. Or, as we read in the parable of the talents, you can hear, well done, good and faithful servant. What do you want to hear when you're faced with judgment? What do you want to hear when you're standing in front of Jesus Christ? There's a choice to be made. Don't leave today without making the proper choice. Let's go to the Lord in prayer. Heavenly Father, we